Welcome to Eggnogs and Yule Logs, a podcast where I, Doug Ishikawa, and
I, Mark Hahn,
set out on a journey of self-discovery through the magical world of the Hallmark holiday movies. Mark, you look healthy.
Why, thanks. I did my weekly oil bath today, so yeah. I feel good.
Very gross on my end, but you look okay. You look healthy.
Thank you.
I hope that we're able to continue this podcast without a Christmas tree falling down on us. So hopefully we're able to get going from there.
It's true.
So let's talk about our latest film, Christmas Sale. What'd you think about Christmas Sale?
I liked Christmas Sale. There's a lot in here. And I felt like it started a little slow, but it really grew on me like the last two thirds or so of the movie.
Well, we're going to get all into that in a second here, because Christmas Sale stars Katie Sackhoff. She's from The Mandalorian, This Is the Way. Patrick, and I'm sorry if I'm going to screw this up, Sabangi? Is that?
I'm going with Sabangi.
Sabangi? Okay. Yes.
My guess.
Probably should have looked that up before I did this. He's from Firefly Lane. And then Terry O'Quinn from Lost. Jack. No, he's not Jack.
He's John Locke.
Jeez.
I mean, can I take a bit of time here at the top to talk about this cast?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I did a lot of research on these. First of all, Katie,
is this talking about the McKellar count, or are you just talking about the cast right now?
Just the cast. In fact, I don't think any of these people have a McKellar count.
Oh.
Like, except for this.
Okay.
Katie Sackhoff is actually best known as Starbuck Thrace on Battlestar Galactica. She's like kind of a sci-fi icon from that. Oh. She was a lead on season 8 of 24. And as you mentioned, she's Bo-Katan Kryze from The Mandalorian and from Star Wars Rebels and The Clone Wars. She was the voice in those animated features. I take it you saw The Mandalorian?
I have.
So you know that she's in that, like, cool scene at the very end of season 2 on the bridge of this ship where, spoilers for The Mandalorian, even though I don't think we have a huge crossover of listeners that watch The Mandalorian, but when Luke Skywalker shows up. So
that Venn diagram is so small between
it's you and me,
Mandalorian and Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yep. But
go ahead.
And actually, this, I think she made, got this movie made. She was an executive producer and her husband wrote the movie.
Oh, nice.
Terry O'Quinn, of course, he was in Young Guns. He was in, obviously, he was in Lost. Did you know he was in Tombstone?
Yes, I did. He is the mayor.
That's right. He was the mayor.
He could be mayor.
he was in The Cutting Edge.
Oh, yes. Topic.
That's right. Our number one listener. That's her, one of her favorite movies. And he was in All the Right Moves. Do you know All the Right Moves?
All the Right Moves. Is that the space shuttle movie?
No.
That's The Right Stuff.
That's The Right Stuff. All the Right Moves is like a 1983 Tom Cruise flick about him playing high school football. And Leah Thompson is in it. She's 2 years away from being in Back to the Future.
Two movies to watch.
And one thing he says in Lost, which I think is kind of prescient, is a leader can't lead until he knows where he's going. It's good advice. And then Patrick Sabangi, who plays Luke in this movie, he was in 300. He co-starred with my man crush, Michael Fassbender, and he was in Watchmen. Did you see that movie?
Yes, Watchmen? I did.
Yeah.
What did he play in that?
I don't have that information at hand. Shoot. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But I think he's like, he must know like Zack Snyder pretty well, because I feel like he was involved in both of those movies. He was born to a French teacher slash librarian.
Oh.
So I was like, hey, look at that.
Look at that deep dive.
So I just had to get all that out about these actors and all the work they've
done. It's a very good cast. It's a very good story. And it kind of tugged at the heartstrings there. But we always do, let's not spoil anything before we get to the categories. Let's start by telling the people what this movie is all about by putting 60 seconds on the clock to cover.
Okay, I gotta confess.
You don't have anything. This is all off the top of your oily head.
No, this time my oily head remains relaxed. I actually wrote all this.
Okay, that's fine.
But I'm
ready
to
spoil it for the people.
Sorry. All right.
Here we go. Begin.
Liz is a decorator for high-end hotels in
Seattle. Hold on, stop.
What?
I like how, before you even begin, I like how you drop a couple octaves here to match my Hallmark description. But go ahead.
Well, because I'm always a little jealous of my, like, foolish and stuttering and and then you come in and you're like, Liz.
I only have to read two sentences that previously wrote.
Yeah.
Spoiler again to the audience. All right, here we go. 60 seconds on the clock. Here you go, Mark. Begin.
Liz is a decorator for high-end hotels in Seattle. When she learns that her estranged father, Dennis, has been injured saving a small child from a horrible tree accident, she returns home to Portside and reconnects with her childhood best friend, Luke. Luke is a home builder and craftsman who also helps his mother with her flower shop. When Luke and Elizabeth reunite to try and win the town's annual Best Dressed Boat Contest, waves of nostalgia crash down upon their relationship, and they are forced to confront their feelings for each other before their one shot at love sails away.
Oh, boy.
That's why I had to write it down.
I covered my eyes a few times during that. That was very good.
Thank you.
Very good explanation and description of the show here. But let's do the actual Hallmark description. When Liz returns home to take care of her estranged father, she is determined to give her daughter a perfect Christmas and reconnects with her best friend. Christmas Sale. All right, Mark, you told us earlier that you liked the film. Or a few things before we hear from our sponsor that you did like about it.
What were the things that I liked?
Yeah.
Okay, so they had like a Christmas ball at the end of this. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that both Luke and Liz were like kind of nervous. And they wanted to be their best selves. And like watching them get ready for the ball was like a big deal. And they were kind of nervous around each other. And there's a point where like he's trying to like tell her all his feelings. And she finally just goes, Luke, stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was going to say like, what was she going to say?
From Jerry
Maguire.
Yes, I wrote that down. You spoiled it. This is much later on in the podcast. Okay. Let's hang on to that. Hang him on, because let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. We're happy to announce that we've partnered with Solo Stove, the near smokeless stainless steel glorious fire pit. It's just a perfect complement to this holiday season, even though Mark doesn't have one. Go and check out Solo Stove. This is not the best ad for Solo Stove, but we'll add the link. You can always check it out on Twitter as well. Hit up Solo Stove. They are fantastic.
I will say, you sent me a photo of that stuff. It looks really cool.
It looks nice in a photo, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It is great. I do have one, but that's what the main host gets, but don't worry. We'll bring you along one day. Thanks. All right, Mark, let's get into the categories before we spoil it all down and we give away the Jerry Maguire line at the very end here. Does it fit the narrative of all Hallmark movies?
I think almost like it's almost a little too on the nose. Like, she's got to come back to her hometown where her high school best friend that they both had a crush on each other but never told each other about. And then she's going to fix the problems with her own father. And then her father and his granddaughter are going to kind of like get their relationship on track. Oh, yeah, this fits in every way.
I wrote down big city event planner or decorator from Seattle. So big city, small town, goes back to the small town. Yep. It has hot chocolate and a Christmas lighting countdown. So that to me makes the Hallmark movie very, very special, as my children yell in the background there.
I couldn't hear them.
Did you at any point, and maybe this is just my fault, I thought that Luke was her brother originally at the very onset of the film. And then I was like, oh, okay, best friend.
Yeah, it was a little unclear. It almost made it feel like he was like an adopted brother and that they were literally in the same family.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, I have another question about that.
Sure.
Is it possible that Liz's mother, who we see kind of in flashbacks and in pictures, is it possible she was played by Carol Baskin?
Who is Carol Baskin? Oh, from... The Netflix Tiger King show?
Tiger King, yes.
Yes, yes, Mark. Yes. Carol Baskin took time. They said, what does this Hallmark Christmas movie need? To really, I said earlier, the tug at the heartstrings of the audience. We need Carol Baskin.
I'm telling you, it looked a lot like her. I thought it was her.
Yeah, you also thought that in the Santa Stakeout, you went with Paul Walker, and I hit it on the nose with Joel McHale there.
You're
all
right.
All right, let's move on to Baywatch.
Baywatch.
Lines that made us laugh, cry, or feel the feels. Go ahead. What do you got down?
Oh, I got a lot. Okay.
Let's keep it to three each.
Three. I can do three. Okay. when they ask Dennis, Terry O'Quinn's character, to come to the Christmas market, he just goes, I don't mix with all that nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm just going to use that from now on whenever I don't want to do something.
I like that. It's courteous, but yeah, to the point.
There's a point where Luke and his friend are talking about his potential crush on Liz. And the elf gets involved or something. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, here's your nuts.
Here's your nuts. I wrote that one down too. Shoot.
And then my last one I'll say is when Liz first sees Luke, she's like, you look healthy.
You look healthy.
And I'm like, is she saying that he put on weight?
No.
I don't know how I feel about this.
It seems to me that at that point, Luke must have just stepped out of an oil bath. So,
well, that it does make you look healthy.
It does make you
look healthy. Don't you see the sheen on me?
Shiny.
All my basement lights are just reflecting off my forehead.
Yeah, I didn't know if you ate a lot of bacon or that's just something that you
do. No, I'm a vegetarian now.
Oh.
Can't have it.
That's a lot happening right now. Should we dive into that? We'll dive into that later.
Later.
Here's what I wrote down. Mm-hmm. Most of mine were feel the feels.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big ones was when Hannah said to Dennis, if you miss grandma and mom misses grandma, shouldn't we all miss grandma together?
I had that one written.
Man. Yeah. And I can't believe you didn't write down any of the nautical puns. I know you had an awful lot of them.
Oh, I have them. They're in my double entendres. Just wait. Okay.
Let's leave them for later then. We're pushing a lot to the back end of this podcast. So folks, if you're lost in the first 12 minutes and 30 seconds, wait till later. It's going to get very, very good. Let's get into heartwarming moments. I have so many, but I'll start with you. Let's keep it to three. So we can get to all that fun stuff at the end of the pod.
Okay. So I like when Luke's mom finally tells him, like, hey, you got to go be an adult and mm-hmm. go do what you need to do. Quit worrying about me and go get your life together. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed Dennis and Hannah playing chess together. I love it when I see like generations that are separated by another generation doing things together. I feel like kids take direction from their grandparents a little easier. They just mm-hmm. go, okay. And then when Dennis and Liz were talking with the slide projector going and they finally kind of were working out some of their issues, I liked that too.
Yep. I had that one down too. I had the picture slide scene and I did use this where I said, damn it, John Locke, you miss your wife and it pangs mm-hmm. my heart. And then she misses her mom. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot throughout this entire film. I would say that it really, really went straight to your heart. Like you obviously, that's what, you know, sometimes around the holidays, you miss loved ones. And I think this movie in particular really hit at that. Mm-hmm. I wrote down chess with the granddaughter.
Yeah.
I like how she opened with the Sicilian defense. And
is that right? Did she?
No.
Did she open with the Queen's Gambit?
I thought that, yeah, she was the original Queen's Gambit. So I thought that was good right there. I like any time that you
cloud.
Huh?
Or did she do the Bong Cloud?
I have no idea what she
apparently opened. That's a thing.
Is
I've
it?
I've been told that, yeah.
A Bong Cloud?
The Bong Cloud like opening.
I don't want to hear about your Friday nights.
No. My son, who is an avid chess player, tells me that this is something that like the best players kind of jokingly do to one another when they're just goofing around in a match.
Oh, there you go. And the last one I wrote, and we talked about this, we alluded it to the Jerry Maguire feel. And we talked about mm-hmm. it when Luke goes to Liz, tells her that he wants to make it work. And she's sitting there and she's smiling. the all-knowing Dorothy Boyd look on her face that she knew once Jerry Maguire walked in that door. It's almost as if she wanted to say what to him, Mark?
You had me at hello.
You had me at hello. And I was like, yes, Jerry. Yeah, I actually get together. Stopped the film at that point, went to YouTube, watched that portion, and said, ah, good. Yeah, anytime you can grab a good scene from a movie 20 years ago, I think that I'm all about it.
20, right. Man, we're almost to 25 now on that one.
Are we really?
Yeah.
We are old.
That's why I have to take oil baths.
I guess so. Let's get into double entendre.
Okay.
Go ahead. I scrapped the category, but go ahead.
Well, they talk about it being a fairy tale ending.
Oh, boy. The boats. This is your moment to shine here.
Yeah, I love it.
Your nautical puns that you got.
The name of the boat was My Darling Mary, and that was their last name, Darling. There's a quote, it's only a matter of time before you get on board with my plan. And then he says, I hate nautical puns. And she goes, are you sure about that?
Yep. This is
it's
a day for
you. It's
bound
to happen sooner or later.
Yep. I had that one written down for you. It pained me to type them out. I was like, dang. I hate this category.
I can't tell you how many times I've jumped up. I thought I was going to go through the floor and into the basement. It was great.
Did you have any other double entendres? You know, I wrote originally that I wanted to scrap the category because I did want to. I know that we've been adding problems that we had with the film. But I wanted to talk about that now.
Okay.
I only had one huge problem with the film.
Mm-hmm.
It's the scene where Luke is wearing a giant scarf. Do you remember? Like he's putting lights on the boat and he's wearing like a brown sweater at the time. He's obviously really cold in this entire point, but he refuses to go with a jacket. He just goes with the sweater and go back and watch. The scarf is giant and I'm all about attire.
Right.
And looking good, because if you recall in the last film of the Coyote Creek Christmas, you know, the Chris Bryant character, what was his name? Was his name Dylan?
Dylan Bailey, yeah.
Yeah, I talked a lot about Dylan Bailey's sexy black gloves. So
is it possible that Chris Bryant is your man crush?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Or maybe it was just the black gloves. Who knows?
Oh.
But I'm just saying. That's
what
does
it for you, huh?
I'm never going to rock a giant scarf. It's just too much for me. Sorry.
No, you're right. I think there's something problematic about the fact that I'm guessing all these films are filmed like during the summer months.
In August, when it's, yeah.
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 So like, what is it? You just throw on a scarf to make it look like it's cold?
Yeah.
And it's
He did don a hat later. He did don a hat later. But that was right. A problem I had. Go back, folks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go back. Watch it when they first begin to put some lights up on the boat. That giant scarf just doesn't do it for me. Should we move into lessons learned?
For sure.
All right, go. Hit me with it.
Okay. And I hate having to harp on this, but holy crap. Widowed people, you need to get therapy.
Oh.
For goodness sake, go and do it. And here, this is going to be my short plug, and then I got a different lesson learned, so I'm not going to make it such a huge downer. Like, look, my dad died almost 2 years ago, and I am... like only now through therapy, getting myself through all the grief from that and kind of mourning all of that. So this dude has been sitting around for all these years upset about his wife, and probably rightfully so. But when that gets in the way of your relationship with your daughter and your granddaughter, that's a real problem. So go get therapy. Here's the other lesson. Both he and the wife were teachers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So the lesson here is that teachers end up losing their house. And their boat.
Oh. pay teachers more.
Yep, that's it.
That's it. Oh, mine isn't as deep or goes into the monetary wallet there. But, you know, I left two things out of heartwarming moments. I do need to go back real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought it up. When Dennis finally decorates the house for Christmas.
Yeah.
That is, you know, that's him maybe going through that therapy that you're talking about. Him.
Yeah.
Reopening up his heart to Christmas. But let's get to lessons learned since we're already deep in it. Never leave Hannah, the daughter, alone. Because that girl gets caught in more things than I've ever seen a child get caught in before. She gets caught in a fishing net mm-hmm. and two different Christmas wreaths. So,
oh yeah,
lessons learned. Never take your eyes off of Hannah.
Right.
Whenever you're right. around her. I know that's not as deep as yours, but it was something that stayed with me throughout the entire film. Should we get to the steam-o-meter?
Oh yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Lead us off.
I had this as a 6, and they actually kiss at 1:39 in this movie. So 20 minutes before the end. Yeah. I was really happy about that. Luke and Liz at the ball, that was really nice. But for me, again, it's Joyce and Dennis. Mm. Joyce and Dennis, like, I feel like every person in the world needs a Joyce Benson in their life. Mm-hmm. Because, like, she's, like, looking out after this guy, but also she's interested.
Yeah.
She likes him.
There was a scene in when they were in the bakery. I don't know if you remember this, but he says to his daughter, Dennis says to his daughter, "I'm cooking dinner tonight." And he goes to the bakery where Joyce is working, or I think she owns the bakery.
I think that's right.
And he needs like a cake, or he needs dessert.
And he needs.
Yes, he does. Very. Put that in double entendre. There you go. Terry Quinn's character, Dennis, and I think her name is Lawson Chambers, is Joyce.
Okay.
They just like the relationship that you're talking about. They just have a good relationship. They like one another, you know, and so that's good. But you didn't think that the steamometer was as high as myself, because I had Straight Jack and Rose, sans the steamy car scene.
You were at a 10.
I gave it a 10. I thought it was exhilarating. And here's why, Mark.
Okay.
I know you did talk about the first kiss that happened with 20 minutes left to go before the film. Very rare have we seen that happen in a Hallmark movie.
It's a record.
But the whisper love confession that he has to her while they're dancing ear to ear. I don't know. No, ear to ear. No, not ear to ear. Mouth to ear.
I don't know that people speak through their ears.
Ear to ear. That's why it was so hot. It was so weird. No, mouth to ear. He whispers his love confession to her. It's followed by that kiss, that very early kiss that you had. And I yelled at my I yelled at my TV at that particular time. You were with the nautical puns pointing.
Yeah.
At that point, I yelled, "Christmas sale, baby. Let's get going." It was hot. It was hot downstairs in the basement when I was watching that. So I gave it a 10 overall. But I'm interested to hear the eggnog rating that you got.
I had a 3.5.
3.5.
This is my second favorite, I think, so far.
Really?
Yeah, 3.5 nogs for me. It really grew on me. Like I said, like at the beginning, I was kind of like, all right, what are we doing here? And then it just got better and better.
Okay. I hate to say this again, but it's an easy 4 out of 4 for me.
Man,
I am just.
What is your average rating on these?
4. This was a tearjerker for me. When the sail goes up at the end, spoiler alert, and it's the slides running of their family. I got a little.
That
misty.
Was nice.
I'll be honest. I got a little misty. You know, and it's funny because they get to the very end of the movie and all the boats that are in this competition are going by. And the first two boats go and they're like, all right, that's
great.
And then I'm like, man, I can't wait to see this third boat go. And it's just, you know, it made some of the judges cry. People in the audience are really feeling the feels as well. And I said, okay, I think, you know what? And it's totally okay to cry. I think that's the holidays sometimes do to people as you think back upon your memories of hopefully they're good. But all in all, it's about family and it's about reconnecting with people. And, you know, that's just what I kind of pulled away from Christmas Sail. It had me sailing towards calling all of my family members, even though nobody picked up.
I'm just going to ask, did you do that?
No, I sent a text like, hey, thanks.
Oh, that's good.
For Christmas 90.
I know your brother's very busy with the real estate. He's got stuff going on.
Yeah, he's way more.
He's selling stuff around here and also like on the far reaches of the Illinois boundary.
Now you're triangulating our position again to all of our 30
listeners. I said around here, what, you don't think people know we live in Illinois?
Now they do. I was going with California for a while there.
Oh, okay. Well, we can say that. Okay. I live in the San Fernando Valley.
There you go. We are both entrepreneurs from the Valley.
CEO entrepreneur.
Yeah,
born in 1964.
That's right. Mark, do you have anything else you want to add to this to Christmas Sale before we get out of here today?
No, I think that's it. It's just a good all-around film.
Good all-around film.
Check the Hallmark website to see when it plays next.
Yeah. All right. I know this is coming out a little bit later than usual, but we will be back very shortly here because that's going to put a wrap on it for us. To Eggnog and Yule Log Nation, thanks again for hanging out with us.
I'm sorry. I do.
That was written, and I have to go back and read that again. But go ahead.
I'm sorry. It was suggested to me that fans of the pod should call themselves Eggnog Sticks.
Eggnog Sticks?
Yeah.
So your wife told you to call her an eggnog stick?
No.
Other people are telling you to do that?
Yeah.
What's an eggnog stick?
Well, do you know what an agnostic is?
No.
It's from the Greek A meaning not and G-N-O meaning knowledge. So basically they say when it comes to God, they say, I don't know.
Oh.
They just say, I don't know. So an eggnog stick would be someone who is just a fan of the pot.
So two eggnog sticks. That's it. No,
it's a hard word to say though. Eggnog you almost sticks? Have to say agnostic without.
All right, to eggnog sticks. Thanks for hanging out with us for chapter 6 of Eggnogs and Yule Logs. We're gonna be back next episode with the 7th Hallmark countdown movie. Mark, what is it?
Is it the gingerbread?
What is it? Gingerbread Miracle.
Gingerbread Miracle.
How many miracles? Is it just going to be one miracle? Because if it was more, it'd be Gingerbread Miracles, right?
Oh, I think so. It yeah, should I'm be. I know that the German translation of The Last Jedi made it so that we knew that it was multiple Jedi because of the way that they had to write Jedi.
And
whereas in English, Jedi is both singular and plural.
So you're telling me, so if George Lucas had written Gingerbread Miracle, and it was a German, is it a German word, miracle? Or Jedi is a German word?
No, it's just, I'm sorry, I've taken this off the rails.
Agnostics? You know, I'm so close to ending the episode. Should we just end with that?
Well, just we got to do our thing at the end.
Okay, everybody. Gingerbread Miracle will be the next film. Count along with us before Mark goes down a deep rabbit hole here of that I have no idea where he's going half the time. But Mark,
Doug,
to the evergreen.
To the evergreen.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time.